10 o'clock. Do you know where your power supply is? Yeah, I don't know either. Hi there. Welcome to another electrifying episode of Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry, brought to you by eejournal.com. I'm Amelia Dalton, and this week we're talking about power from source to sink to some really interesting new smart energy harvesting window technology. So, you've got yourself some power delivery problems, eh? Well, join the club. But what are you going to do about them? Start with a whiteboard and just power through? Huh? Until you have some kind of answer, maybe? Yeah, well, that might not be the best idea. Just like that oyster-topped pizza. Sounds good in theory, but in the end, the results just leave you with a bad taste in your mouth. Trust me on that oyster pizza thing. Okay, so my guest today is old friend of Fish Fry, Brad Griffin. And we're talking about power delivery problems and how to solve them with a little help from PowerTree. Don't know what PowerTree is? Oh, you just wait and see.
Hey, Brad, thank you so much for joining me.
Hey, Amelia, it's great to see you again.
Okay, so PCB design trends make power delivery network design so challenging, right?
Yeah, it's crazy. If you think about it, the way that the designs are today, they're getting smaller, but there's more content going into those designs.
Yeah.
There's chips that go in that do all kinds of different things. They have different power sources. So one chip can have more than one voltage source.
Right.
So they've got to deliver power to these chips. And there's just not room in these compact designs to be able to provide a good, solid power delivery flow of energy from the source to the actual sink of that power. And so PCB designers definitely have their hands full now more than ever.
How do you think engineers and the companies they're at are getting through that process today?
Well, we see a lot of different ways that they're trying to achieve it. I mean, a lot of them are trying to do simulation. The simulation, though, quite honestly, is sort of built for doing it at the end of the design flow. So, you know, you're not getting the efficiencies that you could to really get your designs out to market on time because you're having to go through so many iterations. We also see people that aren't even that sophisticated. They're just taking their designs into the lab. You're looking for three things. You're looking for sufficiency, efficiency, and stability. So sufficient power being delivered to the chips, efficient power being delivered to the chips, and then also making sure that it's stable the whole time. And they're going to the lab and they're just not finding that, having to go back to the drawing board, maybe even add more layers to design, which causes expense. And, you know, nobody wants that. So especially when it's late in the design process, it just takes everybody's momentum down. They're going to have to go back and redesign it, create more layers, you know. Marketing's not going to be happy because it's going to add more cost to design. Engineering's not happy because they feel like they failed.
Right.
So there's just a lot of agony that goes on this whole process when you get so late in the game and find out you have a power delivery network problem.
Okay, so what is Cadence doing to help these people, these engineers, these companies improve that process?
I'm glad that you asked that because that's exactly what we're focusing on. We acquired the company Sigrity about 5 years ago, and they are definitely well known for their technology in power delivery network analysis, both AC analysis as well as DC analysis. But you know, quite honestly, if you look at where Sigrity's fame was, it was at that guy at the back end of the process doing the qualification of the design. And so when they would find a problem, you know, the design teams had to go through all those struggles that we just talked about. Luckily, if you look at Cadence, what we're famous for is we're famous for being able to do design work at the schematic, driving that technology through the board design, and then doing the analysis into the process.
Yeah.
So we've been able to take that Sigrity technology and we call it kind of shift left. Move it early in the design process. So all the problems that can be found early are found early because we basically have like an analyze button everywhere along that design flow. So you don't have all the details, so you're not going to be able to catch the real detailed problems till you get to the end.
Yeah.
But if you can catch those more simplistic problems early, those problems are just as critical at the end if you haven't found them. We actually even trademarked this thing called PowerTree.
Okay.
So PowerTree is the ability to start at the schematic and basically click on a source, click on a source of power, and track through how that power gets to all the components on the schematic.
Cool.
So,
okay.
So if you've got filter nets and things like that, because you start out with a 3.3 volts, but then you got to get down to 1.8 volts or whatever the right voltage you're trying to get to, you can very easily see what that looks like. Because if you have a big design, that could be spread across, you know, 10s, 20s, 50 pages of schematics.
Right, yeah.
So PowerTree just gives one fell swoop, gives you a look of how that all tracks from source to sink.
Cool.
And, you're able to look and say, oh, I'm missing, you know, a filter component there. Or, no, I didn't do the right voltage there. So you catch those problems before you've laid down one etch of trace on the printed circuit board.
That's cool.
So it's really impressive thing. And, you know, quite honestly, companies have been doing this, but they've been going to the whiteboard, using their schematics, drawing it all
right.
out, you know, doing calculations on their calculator.
Yeah.
And we're basically saying, no, you don't have to do that. We have this awesome technology that you would use at the end of the design cycle. We're going to enable to use it, even though you don't have the sophisticated design data, use it on the simple data, just help you catch problems early. And you
sure.
say, oh, I got to fix that. Oh, yeah. And so then when it gets to the end of the process, all those simpler problems are fixed and you can focus on, okay, now it works. How can I actually save money? Can I optimize the design? Can I do something like, you know, change the decoupling capacitor scheme so it doesn't cost as much, but
right.
still meet all my PDN requirements? So it's really a revolutionary process that we put in place to give that guy at the end of the design cycle, not pulling out his hair to say, how am I going to make this work?
Yeah.
He's saying, this works. How can I make it more robust? How can I make it more cost effective? How can I make my company more money for the product that I'm actually creating?
All right. So, Brad, where can my audience find out more information about PowerTree?
PowerTree is all over the Cadence website if you just Google for it. But what I would actually recommend is that we've been writing a lot of blogs on our Cadence community website. So mm-hmm. take a look at the Cadence community website for signal and power integrity for PCBs. You'll see a number of blogs. They'll point you to white papers. They'll point you to Sigrity Tech Tips.
Cool.
They'll point you to a webinar. We actually have a really cool webinar that's actually done with animated characters taking you through a design cycle process from, you know, the design engineer to the PCB layout to the power integrity engineer.
Cool.
So there's a lot of information there. We think it's helping a lot of our customers out a lot, and we're glad to share that with your listeners.
Very cool. All right, Brad, it's time for your off-the-cuff question. Now, we share a fandom of the Los Angeles Dodgers. What do you think their chances are to go to the big game next year?
Oh, I got to see him go against Houston one more time. That was such a great World Series.
It was.
Except for one thing. They lost.
Yeah. It was a sad day in Dodger fandom, that's for sure.
But there was nothing better than that Justin Turner home run, that the anniversary of Kirk Gibson's home run. You know, that was unbelievable. So, yeah, one more year. We got him. Can't wait, Amelia.
Excellent. Well, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me, Brad.
My pleasure. Thanks so much.
All right, so keeping with our powerful theme this week, we're flipping the script on Windows. Yes. One day in the future, we will think back on our silly single pane or double pane plain old glass windows and sigh. How cute. Did you know that windows as we know them only came about in the 17th century? And before then, from about the 14th century onward, windows were mostly made out of panes of flattened animal horn. Ew. So, window technology is ripe for a freshening up. Now, smart windows are becoming a thing these days, with electrochromic technology becoming more mainstream. So, with electrochromic technology, wires are actually embedded in the glass itself, and then electric signals are passed through those wires. And when that happens, the window can change tint or opacity. But some new research coming out of Friedrich Schiller University, Jena, in Germany, is taking a completely different approach. It's called LAWIN, or Large Area Fluidic Windows. Okay, so in these windows, vertical channels of liquid are embedded within the window, and within those channels of liquid are magnetic iron nanoparticles. So these particles can both cloud up the window by blocking light to different degrees, while also soaking up heat from the sun, or if the window is turned on, magnets actually pull these particles out of the liquid and make the window transparent. And get this, no electrical connection is needed in this system because the toggling of the particle capture system actually happens in a separate tank. Even cooler, or warmer as the case may be, this team of researchers claims that their LAWIN systems are just about as efficient as solar thermal facilities. As you can imagine, this new LAWIN technology may be a bit more difficult to produce than other smart window technologies. But if we consider the total cost of energy consumption in a building, particularly in terms of heating and cooling, this technology could make up a huge percentage of energy consumption. And get this, LAWIN has already been funded to the tune of several million euros, and commercial applications are planned for later this year. If this new large area fluidic window technology has you intrigued, I've included a link to a white paper below the player entitled "A Large Area Smart Window with Tunable Shading and Solar Thermal Harvesting Ability Based on Remote Switching of a Magneto-Active Liquid." And yes, you can thank me later. So maybe you're not creating the smart window with tunable shading and solar thermal harvesting, but maybe you are working on an IoT design. Well, we all know that IoT product development can have a lot of hidden costs and schedule traps. To get your project done on time and on budget, you really need a centralized development environment that can bring your design flow under control. In a recent episode of Chalk Talk entitled "Renesas Synergy Platform," I sit down with Henrik Fladell of Renesas and talk about how the Synergy platform can put all of your IoT development under one virtual roof. And you can check out this episode of Chalk Talk by heading on over to the Chalk Talk section of eejournal.com by clicking the link below the player on this week's Fish Frying page, or head on over to YouTube, keyword EE Journal. Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EEJournalTFM. And hey, if LinkedIn is more your thing, well, sure, you can follow us on LinkedIn as well. And we have that YouTube channel I mentioned earlier, keyword EEJournal. It is chock full of all kinds of techie videos, including our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series. And you can subscribe to our EE Journal YouTube channel as well. And by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page, you can grab our Fish Frying RSS feed or subscribe to Fish Fry via the iTunes Store. And remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, just head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Frying page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, any fun EE conference coming up that I absolutely should attend, see you at the Embedded Tech Trends conference next week, or the best geeky hotspot in your city, shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of January 19th, 2017, I'm Amelia Dalton. You've been fried.